thank you to everyone who is online with us again tonight. I welcome you and I congratulate you. I welcome you to day number 20 of our 30 days of planting the heavens. What an awesome journey this has been, and yet God is not done. Our Daniel fast is almost over. Praise God. And I know most of us are pretty excited about that. Thank God for the open heavens that we have experienced in this season. Thank you for the mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wonderful things that He has done for us. We are so thankful, thankful beyond words. And I know that as the Daniel fast closes tomorrow, now we can get into the rest of the year and the other things that God has given us to do. But I encourage you, 30 days of planting the heavens continue beyond the Daniel fast all the way to the 3rd of February. So I believe we have up all the way until the following Tuesday. So I encourage you, make it a night, tomorrow night, and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, all the way till the following week. And I know that the Lord will complete in your life every good work that He has begun in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
If you do have your 2015 confession, I want us to go into it tonight quickly, because I know there's a lot of ground that the Holy Spirit will have us cover. So if you have it right there, let's get into it. Everyone, 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. I am a loved child of the loved God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are the new constants in my life. No more crying, no more whining. Goodbye death, disease, sorrow, sickness, pain, and failure. Former things are passed away, and all things have become new. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning, Coyote. For as surely as the rose springs forth her bud, and as the garden causes the thing sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth out of my life. Exceeding grace will make the difference in my destiny. Zoe life, the superabundant Yafun Yafun life of God, will continually overflow in me. Light be, I am free from every yoke and chain of darkness. This is my walk over here. Divine wisdom will distinguish me. The God kind of faith will make a giant out of me. My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. The covenant worketh, and every precious seed I sow is returning to me speedily with multiplied increase. I am walking over frustration, dysfunction, delay, miscarriage, stagnation, and abortion. Every terminal verdict is hereby terminated. Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up, and heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly place. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God is so good. God is so mighty good. and we give him all the glory and all the praise. Father, we thank you for causing our ears to be inclined to your word tonight. Thank you, Father, for causing our hearts to indict a good matter, and our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Help us to speak the will of God. Help us, Father God, to receive all that you have for us in this season. We know you are not yet done, so we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Last night, on day 19, we started to discuss what I call beyond the Daniel fast. And I said, as we approach the end of our Daniel fast, I believe very strongly in my spirit that the Lord's put in my heart to talk about a number of things that are extremely important that we need to pay strong attention to beyond the Daniel fast. And, we started out reading 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a very long passage, 46 verses. And I read the whole thing, and all of you kind of joined me. And then, of course, we took the first part of it, verse 1 to 16, and verse 17 and 18. I can't read that scripture tonight. We've already done that yesterday. If you were not with us online yesterday, you can write down that scripture, read it by yourself for your own personal meditation. But that's really the basis of everything that we're discussing over the next few days. And we identified the first major thing we must learn and we must commit ourselves to doing. And this is not a popular lesson. It's not a popular subject. This is not something people talk about all the time. I told you, even I myself, it's been a long time. I don't even remember when last I ministered anything complete on this subject. But this is so important. It's the first thing that must happen in our lives. And I'm so thankful that a number of people got it. And a number of people sent me some of that feedback. I thank God for what he's doing through this. Though it's not very popular, though it's not something we talk about all the time, it is extremely important, and we can't get past this. In fact, from some of the things the Lord said to us yesterday, it's very clear from his word. If we don't get this, we can't have heaven on earth. We can't enjoy his promises in our lives. So what is this thing? It's called honor God. Honor God. We've got to commit ourselves long beyond the Daniel fast, the rest of the year, the rest of the season, to honor God. God's honor must be ultimate priority, utmost priority in our lives. We saw that in the case of Obadiah yesterday. Obadiah was a government worker. He was a right-hand man to King Ahab. And you saw yesterday, those of you who were online with us, you saw when he came and met the prophet, the man of God, Elijah, you saw the deep respect that he showed to that man. Actually, in 1 Kings 18, verse 7 and verse 13, Obadiah called him my Lord. He called Elijah my Lord. And the reason Obadiah was honoring Elijah was not because of Elijah, it was because he honored God. We see that because while Jezebel was trying to kill God's prophet, this man by himself, he took 100 of God's prophets and hid them 50 in a cave each. And he fed them throughout that whole season to protect them. Even though that was a big risk for himself, if Jezebel had found out he did that, he himself would have been killed. But he did that nevertheless. Why? Because he honored God. He showed deep respect and honored God and his house and his servant. You could see the great sacrifice that he exhibited at extreme personal risk for himself. And he showed how completely sold out he was to the will of God. We started to talk about, the honor of God, honoring God. And I remember saying God is not obligated. No matter how many prophetic words we receive, and it's our year of heaven on earth. Praise God. But God is not obligated to fulfill his word in your life or in my life if we do not honor him. If we do not honor him. If you honor God, God will honor you. But if you ignore God, he will allow you to be ashamed. We read 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 27 to 30. That was our home scripture last night. I want to read that again tonight. As we press forward in some of the things the Lord will say to us about honor tonight. First Samuel, so I'm going to ask you to turn over there quickly. And if you don't have it, you can just read. There'll be one or two passages I want you to read definitely tonight that I want you to open your Bible to. But this one, you can just listen to me as I read it. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 to 30. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord. So this man of God brought a word unto the priest Eli. He said, Thus saith the Lord God, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? To offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. I like that particular one, wear an ephod, burn incense. That means, you know, this, and I might talk about it a little bit as we go along. There's something extremely casual about sometimes our service to God. This, you know, this in our generation, that is really troubling, you know. He said he wore an ephod. That means they even had outfits they had to wear to minister. And everything can be dressed down, especially when we represent God. Wear an ephod before me. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Verse 29, Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And why do you honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of my people Israel? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father, I said that you should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. So God made a promise. God gave them a prophetic word several generations ago. But now God has changed his mind. He said, be it far from me that should happen. He says, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Notice, the reason God changed his mind is because Eli and his sons did not honor God. And Eli didn't particularly do wrong. It's really more his sons who treated the things of God with casualness and desecrated the altar and didn't show respect and honor to the things of God. Eli didn't do what he should have done in reining them in and making them change their ways. He continued to encourage them. He didn't encourage them per se, but he didn't come down hard on them. He was soft. And God said, you put your natural relationship, you put your children, you put your sons ahead of me. You honor them more than you honor me. That's a big problem. We're going to see that a little bit more as we go. We can't honor and we can't show more respect and more gravitas for the things of the natural, the things that, oh, these are our natural pursuits and our natural relationships, our family, and things that concern us naturally. We can't show more regard to those things than we do the things of God. That's a big problem. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. He said here, he says that they that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I did mention last night, those two words, lightly esteemed, mean shame. It means they who don't honor me will have shame. They will be despised. They will be contemptible. And in fact, they will operate under a curse. That's what God said. So we said last night, if you honor God, God will honor you. If you ignore God, he will allow you to be ashamed. No matter how many times you repeat the confession this year, 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. No matter how many days of fasting you do, 365 days for the whole year, if you don't honor God, God will not honor you. That's just bottom line. When we dishonor God, we become disqualified to enjoy the promises that he has made. Well, last night I asked, and that's where we kind of stopped, and I said we're going to pick it up from there. What is honor? And how do we honor God? And what is God's honor? Those are some of the things we want to learn from tonight. I know I'm not going to finish this tonight, so quite likely for another day or two, we'll be on this before We'll move to the other things that the Lord has for us. But this is so important. It is priority. He says, so what is honor? Well, honor generally, if you just the word by itself, is honor means something weighty, something heavy, something respect, showing respect. It means something that has priority, something that has high esteem and high value, something that we give a place of superiority. That is honor. That's what honor generally means in the English language. Look at any dictionary. That will be one of the, those will be some of the definitions that you will find for honor. But what is God's honor? And how do we honor God? I want us to read a few scriptures. Now, this one I'd like you to actually open to. And with some of them here, Malachi chapter 1. That may be difficult because it's in the Old Testament, but I tell you the easiest way to find it, if you are not conversant with the Old Testament books, just go all the way to Matthew, go all the way to the beginning of Matthew, and then just go backwards. Malachi is the book right before Matthew. So just go all the way to Matthew in the New Testament, and then just turn back. I want you to read these scriptures because I'm not going to hurry through this. I actually want to read this. Malachi chapter 1. How do we honor God? What is God's honor? Let's talk about that because I know the Holy Spirit wants to give us some illumination here. How do we honor God? What is God's honor? Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. I'm going to read and I want you to read it. Just keep rest your eyes on it if you can. Verse 6, Malachi chapter 1. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Notice, they usually ask, when God says these things, they come back and almost sound ignorant, like, well, how, you say we are not honoring you, how? And you see that when we read later on in another scripture. So wherein have we despised your name? Then God answered them in verse 7. He said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. That means they lightly despised it. They held it very light, which was contemptible before them. It wasn't something that had any major seriousness or any gravitas. It was contemptible. They said the table of the Lord is contemptible. They treated it light. Verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or will he accept your person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Notice here, just a side comment, that even though the Lord is talking about what they were offering, their gifts that they brought to the altar, really, he wasn't only addressing their gifts, but their gift was just a picture of what their entire attitude was to the things of his house. They held the things of God as contemptible, and that reflected in the way they offered to him. So what they brought God was always leftovers, but that reflected their general attitude in the way they related with the house of God and with the things of God. They brought their leftovers to God. Leftover time, leftover energy, leftover money, leftover skill and talent, but then they gave their best to their governors and to their natural obligations, their natural relationships. But when it came to the things of God, they gave their leftover. It was always leftover time, leftover money, you know, whatever little time they have left when they are tired, you know, they'll kind of squeeze a little time in to do something that is maybe useful for the kingdom of God or some assignment that they have in the ministry or something, you know, leftover money. You know, they say, oh, you know, I can't tithe. You know, they'll pay the note, car note, pay the mortgage or rent and take care of this and take care of that and take care of this. And then whatever is left over, then they brought that. And God said, you bring me your lame and your sick and your blind. Why don't you give that to your governor and see what he'll do? You see, God was generally showing, he was trying to say to them, you do not honor me. You do not honor me. My things don't matter that much to you. You do not attach that level of seriousness and that level of importance or priority or value or esteem to the things that concern me and my house. But when it concerns you and when it concerns other things that are really important to you, you go all out and you do what you have to do. And God said that is not honor. Now, he goes on further. I don't want to stop there, even though I want to kind of move on quickly because I have other things I want to read here because of time. But, you know, it's important. Sometimes we just read some of these scriptures, one or two verses. We don't see the entire context. I want you to read further. He says in verse 9, and now I pray you. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read that because Malachi changed that. Malachi took on and he was addressing them. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. Now then, I, Malachi, beg you, priests, entreat God earnestly that he will be gracious to you with such a gift from your hand as a defective animal for sacrifice. Will he accept it or will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. So Malachi took it on from there. God started the speaking, but Malachi took it on. He says, you are asking for God's favor. You are asking for open heavens, heaven on earth. He says, with your defective gifts and your attitude of dishonor to God, could God really give you heaven on earth? And he says, it's not possible. That's what he's simply saying in verse 10. Who is there like this? You know, actually, I'm going to read that also from the Amplified verse 10. Because the King James doesn't really show you. You need to be able to read some of these things in other translations. Let's read it first from the King James and then I read it from the Amplified. Who is there even among you that will shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. God said those defective offerings you bring, your defective attitude, your dishonorable way, in fact, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not accepting you, and I'm not accepting anything from you. But I like the way the Amplified explains it. Listen, he says, oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me. I wish you will, in fact, prioritize ministering to me. You remember, we said when we started last night, we're talking about beyond the Daniel fast. And the general overall thing is raising the level of our devotion. And we said the first thing is honoring God, learning and committing to honoring God. God said, I wish one of you would even minister to me. I wish one of you would take it on as a full-time job, as a full-time duty to minister to me. Maybe that will cover up for the dishonor from the rest of them. It shows you how deeply God sees this. Then he says, I wish that one of you would shut the doors and open the doors, and that you might kindle fire on my altar to no purpose. That you would actually do it to cover up for the defection of these other people. Say, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. God is really, really upset with these people because of the dishonor within them. Verse 11, King James, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. What is God is saying? You may dishonor me if you like. And this is really powerful and really interesting. And I won't get to this tonight. I know I will get to it another time. God is saying, one way or the other, on this earth, I will get honor to myself. One way or the other. It may be through your glory, or it may be through your shame. But I wish you will honor me so that I can get honor from your glory. But one way or the other, whether you honor me or not, and what is God saying? I'm going to take care of my own business. I'm going to do the things that I need to do, whether or not you honor me. One way or the other, I am going to get glory. Actually, that's what he said to Pharaoh in Exodus. And we will read that before we're totally done. You know, in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 14, he said, I will get honor upon Pharaoh. He said that. Whether or not you honor me voluntarily, I will get honor. So God is saying to these people, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name will be great among the Gentiles. I will fulfill my word in some people's lives. And in every place, incense will be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. So God is saying, I will go even to a people that are not a people, that are not my people, and from them I will get honor, if you will not give me honor. He says in verse 12, but you have profaned my name. And you say the Lord's table is polluted. The fruit thereof, even its meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. See, they were doing it, they were serving, but that is even so tiring, so weary, burdensome. They were serving God, but they were serving God with a lot of complaining and a lot of mourning. They did it only because it's like they were being made to do it. They didn't do it because they love him. You say you snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Says, you know, they will keep the good and use it for some other thing. And then they'll come to me and bring me what is defective. And God says that is not honor. You can fast and pray for 365 days through the year. You can go multiple, 10 times Daniel fast in this first part of the year. If you do not honor God, none of these words, none of this, whether it's prophecy about heaven or earth, whether it's expectation you have, things you have written down in your journal, none of them are going to stand the test of time. None of them. Because God will not honor them. I want you to flip over and go to Proverbs chapter 3. That will not be your portion, because God is saying this to us because he's raising us up to be a people of honor. So you are a person of honor. In fact, make that confession of faith with me. Say, I honor God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Keep your hand in Malachi, because I'm going right back there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Notice, honor the Lord with your substance. How do we honor God? That's one of the ways he's shown us there. We're going to identify other ways. We've seen some ways he said in Malachi 1. We're seeing some ways he's saying here, honor the Lord with your substance. I like the way the Amplified puts it. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruit of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vat shall be overflowing with new wine. What is the first fruit? I know there are great teachings on first fruit offering, but don't even go that deep. Don't go into that complicated what it means, first fruit. Or, of course, later in the year we'll talk about first fruit offering, but just take it, just surface. The first fruit, he calls it, first fruit of all thine increase. So that means your tithe is a way to honor God. Anything that comes into your hands and you take the first part of it, that is the first tenth, and you give it to God, you are honoring him. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with them. What if you don't do that? Well, your barns will not be filled with plenty. You can prophesy, you can confess it 1,000,001 times, but if you don't honor God in that area, he's not going to honor you. Now go right back to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And let's read this in context. I know we usually read just two verses there, but this time I'm going to read all the way from verse 6. And I'm going to read way beyond where we usually stop. I'm going to read to verse 12. We're trying to ask and answer the question, how do we honor God? These scriptures are showing it to us. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So what I change not means, whatever I expected back then, I expect today. Whatever I required of them back then, I require today. If I told them to honor me with their time back then, I expect you to honor me with your time today. If I told them honor me with your energy and your skill and your talent, back then, I expect you to do it today. If I told them, honor me with the first fruit of your offering, your or your income, your tithe, your offering, if I told them to do it back then, I expect you to do it today. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what he said. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. That is from way back then, you have not kept my ordinances or my instruction. Then he said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. If you return to me, I will return to you. What if you don't return? Then he won't return to you. Saith the Lord of hosts. But then, see, they ask that question again. It's almost cynical. But you said, wherein shall we return? So when he says this thing, they say, ah, how? What do we need to do? And then the Lord says to them, look at verse 8. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then he said, in tithes and offerings. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. See, though they were quoting blessings, though they were confessing blessings, God said, you are cursed with a curse. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes, all, not half, not once in 2 months, all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's how you prove me. That's how you see me honor you, is you bring your tithe and your offerings into my house. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast out fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. When you honor me and you give me your first and your best, your first and your best, when you honor me and give me your first and your best, all nations will call you blessed because they will see my mighty hands upon your life. They will call you a delightsome land. How do we honor God? That's what we are answering tonight. I want you to look at one last scripture. This one in the New Testament, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is Jesus Christ himself talking about the honor of God and his own honor. John chapter 5, and I want you to read from verse 19. Then we're going to go through a list here of how do we honor God. John chapter 5 from verse 19 to verse 23. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whomsoever he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. You can read the rest of that verse, the rest of that scripture in context, because I have to move along here. So honoring God from these scriptures that we have read means, and I'm going to give you a definition with a list here. Honoring God means to respect and to esteem God highly. To respect and to esteem God highly. To deeply value his person. To deeply value his power. To deeply value his purpose. To deeply value his people. To deeply value his possessions. To deeply value his places. To deeply value his process. And to deeply value his prophets. What does it mean to honor God? It means to respect and to esteem him highly. Esteem God highly. To deeply value God and his person. to deeply value his power. That is, you value his person and his presence. That is, you value his power, his anointing. You don't take his anointing for granted. You don't treat his anointing like a light. You don't laugh about the things of God's anointing. When the Spirit of God is moving or God is working with people, you don't laugh about it. You don't take it light. You are not casual with the anointing. You deeply value his purpose upon the earth. That what God is trying to do upon the earth is not a light thing to you. You deeply value his people. His people are more esteemed than your people. You don't treat your natural family and your natural relationship with greater honor than you treat God's people and God's relationships. You deeply value his possession. If God has a car, you treat his car well. If he has a camera, you take care of it. If God has a pulpit, you take good care of it. If he has a pew, you take good care of it. His places, you deeply value his places. His house, you don't treat his house as contemptible. You don't throw dunk, chew gum, and spit it out in the sanctuary and treat his house contemptible. You don't treat the house of God lightly. You don't treat other places with great gravitas and great seriousness. But when you come in the house of God, anything goes. You just flip anything anywhere because it's contemptible. No, you deeply value his process. That is, you recognize God has a way of doing things, and you value that. Some things we don't understand. We don't understand everything. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and none of us has 100% spiritual discernment. And so sometimes God is doing some things we don't understand. You don't have to make light of it. You don't have to despise it. Just honor it. Just respect it. Deeply value his prophets. His prophets. Honor God's servants. Carry them with an esteem. Don't treat them light. Hallelujah. That's what honor to God means. His possessions, his money. Deeply value it. This is God's money. It goes to God alone. This is God's house. I treat it with esteem. This is God's keyboard. I don't mess around with it. This is God's carpet. This is God's room. I don't tear it apart and just treat it anyhow. No, I honor the things of God. Jesus said, when you honor what God sent or who God sent, and when you honor God's things, you are honoring God. Honoring God's people. You know, there's something deep with honor, the covenant, and the anointing, the gravitas that comes with all of that and the anointing. I didn't always know that, you know. You remember, I told you at the beginning of this scripture, you know, Obadiah, when he saw Elijah, he referred to him as my Lord. That's how he called him. In 1 Kings 18, verse 7 and 13, called my Lord. That's how he called him. It's like saying my pastor. And I didn't always understand many of these things that have to do with covenant, honor, anointing. You know, but, you know, I pastored in my own life, pastored about 10 years, actually, our present church, Abundant Life. And everywhere I used to, way back then at the beginning, I called myself Pastor K. Everywhere, when I'm Pastor K, whether I'm talking to vendors, or I'm talking to church, or I'm talking to other ministers, or the people I shepherd, I call everybody Pastor K. I'm Pastor K. I wrote it on everything. Well, 10 years after I started shepherding, that was probably about 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord caught my attention and he said, you know what? Tell the people you shepherd in-house, anyone that recognizes you as their shepherd, tell them to refer to you not as Pastor K, but as pastor or my pastor. I didn't understand that. That's something, and nobody taught me that. But I started looking in his word. He showed me a number of things, but one of the things he showed me had to do with honor, covenant, anointing, and gravitas. I saw that immediately. He said there's honor, there's covenant, there's gravitas, and there is the anointing. When somebody you shepherd calls you my pastor, when they call you pastor, when they call you Pastor K, you are like one of the many. He said, what do your children call you? I said, dad or daddy. dad or that. He said, why don't they call you Daddy K? I said, because I'm the only one they have. Yeah, I said, that's exactly right. In abundant life, you are the father. You look very young, and you are young to many people that you are going to shepherd, but you are the father. You are the patriarch. I'm the only one there is, and the only one there will be. You are my servant and my anointed one over that ministry. So, yes, you will appoint others to serve alongside you and help you minister. They will be associates or whatever, and I've done before, and I will continue to do. He said, but they are helpers. You are the shepherd. And when the people you shepherd call you shepherd, when they call you pastor, when they call you my pastor, there is honor, there is covenant, there is a flow of grace and anointing to their lives, and there is gravitas. Hallelujah. I didn't always know that. That was a difficult thing for me to even talk about. But of course, you know, I did once or twice, and that was it, you know. And but that's not an understanding I always had. Nobody taught me that. There are people you do business with, or people who are passing through your ministry, who are visitors just going through, or people who are new. They haven't really gotten into a covenant relationship with you. They can call you Pastor K, they can call you Kayode, they can call you anything they want. But those who you shepherd should call you pastor, shepherd, my pastor, my shepherd, my father. And, yeah, of course, then I started talking about it. And, you know, it's borne out in Scripture. And I won't take the time because I want to try to close this. I'm talking about the honor, the place of honor, the place of the covenant, the place of the anointing, and the seriousness that comes with the things of God. What does it mean to honor God? And I'm just sharing with you a simple personal experience here. And the Lord said to me, you know, yeah, Abraham was called Abram for 75 years, but I changed his name. It wasn't a bad name, but I said they should call him because Abraham represented honor, covenant, anointing, and gravitas. Abram did not. And I knew, I stepped back and I saw it was true. Usually, when people called me Pastor K, or when they refer to me as Pastor K, even when I'm not there, or when I'm there, I can tell the difference, as opposed to when somebody says pastor or my pastor. I could tell. I could tell the seriousness, the honor, the covenant that was flowing there. And even today, though I don't talk about it much, when people I shepherd call me Pastor K, it sounds like somebody I'm doing business with. I don't connect with them in the spirit like I'm their shepherd. But when they call me pastor, or my father, or whatever, my shepherd, you can see there's that honor, there's the anointing, there's the gravitas, there's a seriousness, and there's covenant at play there. But you know what? There's a bigger issue, and I want to talk about that here just before I close. I know my time is almost up. But there's a bigger issue of honor and respect in our society. That's one of the things, you know, that we're falling back on. Many people think, you know, modern day, they think, oh, you know, honor and respect are outdated and old-fashioned. Many people think, oh, you know, to be honorable, you know, to bow down or kneel down or to prostrate, oh, that's a culture from Africa or South America. You know, yeah, that may be true. Maybe some of those cultures, you know, have things that help them practice some of those things and all of that. But actually, to be quite honest with you, honor is a kingdom culture. Honor mm-hmm. is a heavenly culture. Mm-hmm. When you look in the Bible, just read in the book of Revelation, they are still bowing down. They still bow down in heaven, not only to God, but even to people they respect and esteem. They still fall on their faces and prostrate. Honor is not a culture that is outdated. It's a heavenly culture. Amen. And our society has moved so far away from the understanding of honor and respect. And beloved, hear me. I'm going to try to close in a minute here. This is not how I thought this was going to go, but praise God. The Holy Spirit will have his way, and we'll pick this up next time from somewhere. You cannot be in a service online, on the phone, and you know your phone is on, and you know the Holy Spirit is ministering, and you know we are in the presence of God, and there are other believers sat together in covenant, listening to the word of God, and you are flipping, and you are talking, and you are doing stuff, and you don't mute your phone. Now, that is dishonor. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's so much casualness in our society, so much disrespect for the things of God, and even in the society generally, hardly do young kids know about honor and respect. We are raising an honorless society. Kids today don't know what's the value of life. And I'm telling you, hear this, child of God. I'm going to try to close in a minute. This is one of the biggest reasons why there's so much decadence and so much error in our society. You hear a lot about a little child picking up a gun and killing other children, or killing adults, an older person killing people, and or devaluing life. People don't value life. You know, one of the reasons for that is because we have lost the sense and the value of honor. The sense and the value of honor is what makes you esteem people. It's what makes you carry them with a certain level of value, no matter who they are, younger or older. But especially godly people, especially older people, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with calling someone who is older, sir, or somebody who is older, ma'am. Don't throw away honor because of modernization or westernization. Some people even think, well, to become more, you know, more in fashion and more in vogue, you know, I need to throw away all the honor that I learned when I was a little child. I need to kind of talk with. I understand, and I saw that when we lived in England, I understand that there are parts of the West, in Europe, in America, where children even call their parents by their first names. Oh, that is so wrong. Now, that's probably how they were raised, but that is so wrong. Because when you raise a child to not learn the value of respect and honor, and they don't have the culture and the courtesy of honor from an early age, they become a liability to the society eventually, because they don't value life. It's Saturday night, and we got to close. But in answering the question, how do we honor God? These are some of the things that I've talked to you about tonight. I have so much more. And we'll try to wrap this up when we come back next time. When the Lord gives us the release to get back to this. But honor God, honoring God is your first responsibility. Not being so casual. The reason there are not many celebrities, people who should be celebrities in the body of Christ, are casualties, is because of the casual approach we have to the things of God. Everything is not fun. Some things are fun, but everything is not fun. Some things need to be serious, and they need to be held with seriousness. There has to be gravitas and decorum and decency and discipline and order, especially in the things of God. I pray that as you enter into this season, honor, honor, honor will come to the top of your list. Honoring God, honoring the things of God, honoring the people of God, honoring the places of God, honoring the possessions, the money of God, honoring everything that is God. That will come to the fore for you. And I pray that as you honor God, we'll talk about that later, something called honor's reward. The Lord will honor you. You will reap a double honor, double portion of honor. Wherever there has been shame in your life, God will turn it around and bring you double portion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.